This is Cashing Out on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Cashing Out rolls on from the Circus Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas. I'm Dustin Sweetelson, hanging out with you all night long. Sirius XM Channel 158, YouTube TV, the VSiN Watch app, and radio affiliates across the United States of God Bless America. Some live action across hoops. Spurs with under a minute to go, up 107-91 on the Lakers, about to close them out. Warriors with under 8 minutes remaining against the Bucks are leading 104-92. They're laying 10.5. And then the Rockets and Trailblazers. Portland still up 82-78. Few minutes into the fourth quarter, 11:05 to go. Portland still the favorite at -1.5. And we'll keep you updated on everything as it transpires throughout the night. But we have to start looking ahead because Thursday's a big day. We have some college football playoff action to help us break down not just the Fiesta, but the Peach Bowl and how the potential matchups could look in the national title game. We're going to go out to the Progressive Guest Line. Welcome in George Reister, host of the Unafraid Show on YouTube, CW college football analyst, and at George Reister on X, former Oregon Duck as well, we should note. So let's put your Ducks and the Hoosiers to the side on the rematch for a second. Let's look at the Fiesta Bowl. Miami is a 3.5-point favorite against Ole Miss. The total's 52.5. With Miami coming off that win against Ohio State, do you think that they can continue to play at the level that they've played at defensively the last 2 weeks against Trinidad Chambliss?
The answer to that is, yes, they're going to play good defense because that's what they do, but they're not going to be able to turn this into a rock fight. For sure. Ole Miss is going to score points. There is no way around it. And that total is 52. If it gets over 52, Ole Miss is going to win. This is the classic styles make fight because you got Miami who wants to drag you down in the mud, wrestle you, and get you all tired until you tap out. And it's like watching some of the Dagestanian UFC guys where they're not even gonna punch you. All they're gonna do is wrestle you to death. And that's what Miami wants to do. And there is no more evidence of that than how they've treated Carson Beck. They have treated Carson Beck like a hood ornament for the last two games. He didn't even and I know that it was super windy against Texas A&M. And they were like, oh, it's not that they're trying to protect Carson Beck. Okay, well, the next game you play against Ohio State, who has a better defense, and you're playing indoors. They don't even let him throw a pass over. He didn't even complete a pass over 10 yards.
Yeah.
There's a reason. They know that Carson Beck has blow-up potential. He will throw you picks. But this Ole Miss defense isn't really, like, a great defense. So he actually might be safe throwing the ball around against them a little bit.
Talk to me about the coaching matchup, because I imagine for as long as you've been covering college football and with Mario Cristobal spending time at Oregon, you've probably talked to him a few times. I'm not sure how often you may have talked to Pete Golding, who's really had to earn his stripes the hard way, kind of the opposite of Lane Kiffin. What do you make of this coaching matchup? Cristobal, a guy who really seems to fall apart, it feels like, we get with expectations, although he's doing the opposite right now. And then Pete Golding taking over, where there's no playbook on what he wants to do as a head coach.
Mario Cristobal, who I've known since he was at Oregon, I like Cristobal, but I'm college football's truth teller, so I got to tell the truth. there have been times where game management has been questioned, whether it's the clock or situational things like the Georgia Tech loss. Just take a knee, and a couple years ago, but. He is a really great recruiter, a great mentality coach in terms of the physicality, but sometimes he tends to stick his thumb on the offense too much. And the issue was is that when he was at Oregon and even in Miami, they lost games that they should win because they end up in a rock fight. And then all of a sudden, a drop pass, a penalty, a miraculous catch all of a sudden, and now you're losing a game that you should win. Now, on the other side, Pete Golding We know about him as a defensive coordinator. He's a national championship defensive coordinator with Alabama. But the thing we don't know about Pete Golden is how good is he as a head coach? Now, he's been doing a great job for the two games and the practices and the lead up and everything else to get Ole Miss ready. But this is also a very, you know, this is one of those storybook Cinderella stories. And you know what always happens at the – even if they beat Miami, you know what happens at the end of Cinderella? Everything turns back into a pumpkin. the glass slipper always falls off.
Yeah, 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 absolutely. George Reister is our guest. Host the Unafraid Show. Check it out on YouTube. Also, CW College Football Analyst. And now let's go to the other game. We will go to the Peach Bowl. Indiana is a 3.5-point favorite against your team, Oregon. The total is 48.5. How do you feel about the Ducks in a revenge roll? Can they top the Hoosiers, or will Indiana go to the national title game?
Okay, so here's an interesting thing and it kind of involves Ole Miss a little bit. Since the college football playoff era has started, even going back to the two teams, there's never been a team to win the national championship that had a blue chip rating under 50%. And Ole Miss and Indiana, and a blue chip rating is the percentage of your roster that is 4- and 5-star recruits. Now, in this new age of NIL and the transfer portal, you got guys like on the Indiana team, like Surratt or Fernando Mendoza. Fernando Mendoza was a 3-star recruit with limited options. And now, if you were re-ranking him, he'd be a 5-star. If you were re-ranking Elijah Surratt, their wide receiver, he started out at a very small school, then goes to James Madison, and then goes to Indiana, he'd be a 4-star recruit right now. So this is going to be interesting because it's never happened. So people believe that nobody without a proper blue chip rating can win. But this new era of college football is putting that to the test when you have two teams in the semifinals that don't have a blue chip rating over 50%. But in this game, I'm looking at, I went back to the original Oregon game versus Indiana, and I watched the all 22. I believe a few things. One, I believe that Oregon had beaten Penn State, and they walked in that game a little bit arrogant, and they got humbled. They got a piece of humble pie, which is what they needed. But also, Indiana is similar to Texas Tech in that they're not going to change their personnel very much and take their linebackers off the field. They specialize in deception. They are going to fake blitz, simulated blitzes, have you looking the wrong way, send your protection the wrong way. They're going to slant their defensive linemen. Everything is built upon chaos. Where Texas Tech had success against Oregon was David Bailey is a mutant. Lee Hunter on the defensive line is a mass of humanity and is very good. And that gave Oregon problems. But this Indiana team is not as talented in the front seven as Texas Tech is. They are relying on coaching. So I was in the locker room after the Indiana-Oregon game, and Dan Lanning was basically like, our plan was bad. We got out coached. So, and we know that Dan Lanning is a great football coach. Will Stein and Tosh Dupuy, his coordinators, are very good. So the chances of them getting out coached again are probably low. So now we go to the next edge. Who has the better players? Oregon has more NFL draft picks on their roster than Indiana does. So it's always so when coaches are equal, you got to default to the Jimmies and the Joes.
So, George Reister, in about a minute, your prediction for the national title. Who advances, and how do you think the national title game ends up going?
I think we get the the dream matchup of the Oregon Ducks versus the Miami Hurricanes with their former head coach, Mario Cristobal, man who walked out the door after he said that he wasn't and almost gave him the same Willie Taggart version of that. Why would I be the head coach? And then Oregon beats them and hoists their first national championship trophy. I'm mad that you made me say this because I have not said that all year. And if I jinxed it, I will never forgive myself.
We can't lose. No matter what we get, it's going to be a great story. He's George Reister. Check out the Unafraid Show.
That's not true.
How do we lose?
If Oregon doesn't win, we lose.
There he goes. Always a duck. Once a duck, always a duck. He's George Reister. Check out the Unafraid Show on YouTube. Also on the CW at George Reister on X. Thanks as always for doing this, man. Happy New Year. And hopefully the Ducks do what you just said that they would do.
Yes, sir.
Great stuff from George. Awesome. Look, Indiana's the story. Indiana putting a bow on the greatest run in the history of coaching. That's a win. Oregon finally getting that national title. You go back to Mike Bellotti, into Chip Kelly and Mark Helfrich, and then everything that came since. And now to Dan Lanning. Now to Dan Lanning would be insane. And then on the other side, Pete Golding, a miracle run following the way Lane Kiffin left, or it's Mario Cristobal at his alma mater bringing the U all the way back. Every single story is a win for college football, and that has not been the case with a lot of college football stories lately. We'll tackle the wild card props coming up next on Cashing Out.
You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real, mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. Visa Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with Visa Pro.
Welcome back to Cashing Out here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Dustin Sweetelson here, you there. Thanks for making us a part of your night. However you may be tuning in, SiriusXM Channel 158, YouTube TV, the VSiN Watch app, and radio affiliates across the United States of God Bless America. One college basketball game currently going on at the break. Grand Canyon with a 10-point lead on the road at Boise. 37-27. Grand Canyon's laying 3.5. The total's 139.5. I'm laughing because Boise closes an 8.5-point favorite. Total was all over the place. We bet under 137.5, so we're 2 points off of that. It doesn't look great. It was looking good for a while. At the end of the half, they just started tacking on a few points. I think we're going to see scoring the rest of the way because part of the handicap was I didn't trust Grand Canyon because on the year, I mean, three-point-wise, they're 300th in the nation. Now, they're okay from two. They're not amazing. They're pretty good at the free throw line. But there's nothing about Grand Canyon that led me to believe they're going to Boise. First year in the Mountain West and just, like, scoring, running up and down the court. So far on the night, they're only shooting 2 of 13 from 3. That's crazy. They've only had 6 free throws. They're 5 of 6 from the free throw line, yet they're up by 10. The story's on the other side, Boise, which isn't amazing shooting the 3. They're solid. They're 175th in the country at, looks like, 33.8. They're 2 of 8 on the season, 25 or 2 for 8 on the night from beyond the arc, 25%. They're 7 of 25 from the field. Oh, man, that can't happen. Now, that is Boise. Boise's not very good 2-point percentage team, 268th at 48.6. I want to take Boise. I want to take the discount on Boise at home, take the 3.5, but I have a rule. Now, I'm not good at following rules always. But my rule is if I'm already really losing a bet, which I think we're going to lose this under, I'm not going to add another bet that may not hit as well. And I don't know if I can trust Boise. I'm kind of shocked that Grand Canyon jumping them the way they are. But I probably shouldn't be. Bryce Drew's a pretty good coach, man. He's made some runs over at GCU. There's a reason why he stayed there for a while. He's had opportunities to go somewhere else. I like GCU. I'm going to stay away. But my lean would be Boise State plus the 3.5 right now at the break. In the NBA, what do we got cooking right now? Just two games still going on. Warriors up 118-111 on the Bucks. That's with 118 left. Number looks like it's off the board right now. Portland leading Houston 93-89 at home. They've hung on to this lead. They're laying 2.5. The total in game is 207.5. I kept saying take Houston. The fact that they haven't made their run, there's 4.5 minutes to go. Now, you worry about a young team like the Trailblazers closing out a group like the Rockets, but no Şengün, missing a few other pieces. Obviously, they haven't had Van Vliet. They're not going to have them all year. I want to take Houston plus the 2.5 with 4 minutes to go, but that may be the wrong call. So we're going to stay away, but I'll keep you updated on how that game transpires. In the meantime, let's start looking at the NFL player props. We'll do this throughout the show because props are populating. VSiN.com/NFL props, where you can see our Opta AI player prop projections compared to the DraftKings line. They'll even tell you the margin so you don't have to do the math. They'll order it in the biggest margin, whether it's over, under, it doesn't matter. Whatever the margin is, the bigger the margin, the higher up on the board they'll be at VSiN.com/NFL props. And let's begin by looking at the quarterback position. These are the ranks on the season across the league for the defenses going up against quarterbacks throwing the football. So in terms of passing, Pittsburgh's the worst, 261 passing yards per game allowed. San Francisco, 23rd in the league at 241. Chicago's 22nd. The Rams are 20th. Jacksonville is 19th. Carolina, 14th. Green Bay, 10th. All the way down. You see the list over at VSiN.com, the VSiN Watch app, and YouTube TV. So looking at this number, some of the bets that I was thinking about, I don't do a ton of passing yard props, but Jordan Love against Chicago intrigued me. His number's 221.5. He threw for 234 against them earlier in the year, then 77 in the game he was knocked out against. Last year, in a game against Chicago, he injured his hand and only threw for 69 yards, but also did throw for 261 in another. In 2023, Love had 245 and 316 against Chicago. I think this could be a good matchup. Bears 22nd, allowing 239.5 per game. Jordan Love sitting there at 221.5. I'm considering playing him. There may be a different bet with Jordan Love that we do later. Josh Allen, another one I considered. 227.5, his passing yardage. He only cleared this number twice on the road, though. That's a bit concerning. And I don't trust his receivers. And I could actually see him running a little bit more just because so much is on his shoulders and his legs and the burden he has with carrying that offense. I don't know if I'm going to envision a world where Josh Allen is just throwing the ball up and down against that Jacksonville defense, which, by the way, they're going to have to do something because they're not going to run the football traditionally with the running backs. Trevor Lawrence, I'm thinking under 235.5 for him going up against Buffalo. Buffalo, the best defending the pass. Horrible against the run, which we'll get to later, but the best against the pass, 170.2 yards per game. However, here's what's stopping me from actually firing on that right now. Quarterbacks who have faced Buffalo recently, which is adding to that number. Brady Cook, Jalen Hurts, who they did limit to no passing yards in the second half. Shedeur Sanders, Drake May, they held him to 155. Credit to them. Burrow threw for 284. Rodgers, 117. There's a couple quarterbacks in there where you're like, that's kind of boosting the numbers down or dropping the numbers down from the mean. So I'm a bit concerned, but I do think Trevor Lawrence under 235.5 may make sense. Instead, I'll probably go on the game total under. I just don't anticipate a lot of scoring with Jacksonville and Buffalo in that contest. Now, in terms of quarterbacks running the football, Philly allowed 23.5 rushing yards per game to opposing quarterbacks. Chicago, 23.3. They were 31st and 29th, respectively. Buffalo, 21.6, 28th in the league in terms of quarterbacks running the ball against them. Then you have Houston, the Chargers, Jacksonville, New England, Pittsburgh, the Rams, Carolina, Green Bay, San Francisco. The names that popped to me, Trevor Lawrence was one. Over 25.5 rush yards, it's a big number. He's only cleared it 5 times this year, but maybe against Buffalo, if they're taking the pass away, and Etienne, who, look, it's a good matchup for Travis Etienne, but how much do you really trust him in a playoff game to tote the rock? I think Trevor Lawrence could have to be more mobile here. Brock Purdy's number is 16.5 rush yards. He's gone over this in 3 of his last 4. I'm not sure if they're going to throw or run with their running backs versus this defense. So I'm not sure how they're going to be able to move the ball on the ground through the air against Vic Fangio. Brock Purdy may have to run the football more, so 16.5 made sense. Drake May I considered, but I don't love a lot of the matchups for quarterbacks this week. Justin Herbert over at VSiN.com/NFL props. They have him going under his rushing prop by 13. Josh Allen under by 12. There's a few to the over, but you're going to have to check them out over at VSiN.com/NFL props. Now, running backs are where I see some value. In fact, there's 2 guys that I bet on. Green Bay, 27th in the league against the run in terms of rushing attempts per game. Green Bay 20th in terms of rushing yardage per game. Carolina is sitting there at 25th in attempts per game, 25th in rushing yardage per game. And that's who I want to attack. I love Kyren Williams here. Kyren Williams over 67 and a half rush yards going up against the Panthers front. He had 72 versus them 6 games ago. He's cleared this number in 5 of his last 6. He's gone over it in 6 of 8 road games this year. I'm not totally sure of Blake Corum's health at this point in the season. They wanted to mix him in a little bit down the stretch to keep Kyren healthy. Well, now it's time to put the chips on the table. They can't afford to go in and take Carolina lightly. That's why I think Kyren Williams gets a healthy dose of rushes against the Panthers, and he goes over 67 and a half rush yards. Chicago 16th, so middle of the pack when it comes to rushing attempts. However, 23rd in yardage allowed, 104.2 on the ground. I'm going Josh Jacobs, over 72 and a half rush yards. He had 76 against them back in November. Just 6 for 44 in week 17, but, you know, I think they were trying to manage him, trying to rest him, trying to get him ready for the postseason. Now we're in the playoffs. It's time to ride your horses. That's how we got here. And looking at how running backs have performed against this Bears front, Gibbs had 80, Montgomery had 42 in that matchup with Detroit, CMC had a buck 40, Emmanuel Wilson had 82 when Jacobs got banged up in overtime, Judkins only 21 for Cleveland, but they're never in the game to establish the run. Jacobs had 86 prior to that, Barkley just 56, but he's not the same. Kenneth Gainwell ran for 92 against them. Aaron Jones and Jordan Mason, 70 and 45 for Minnesota when they took on Chicago defensively. And Tyrone Tracy ran for 71. So that's over in 5 of 9. One of the misses was Minnesota, which was a committee, and you combine their runs. They would have went over if they were just one player or two. They would have went way over. They would have had over 100 yards rushing. So I really like Josh Jacobs because I think for Green Bay, with Love dealing with some injuries along the way, I think they want to make sure he stays upright, so they pound the rock with Josh Jacobs. I kind of like Travis Etienne. I like the matchup, but I'm not going to end up going there. We're going to save the receiving props for a little bit later in the show. We'll look at running backs that make sense. There's one where I think the reception makes sense, and then there's a player. I was surprised this number was at 13.5 receiving yards. I thought it'd be probably around 16.5, 15.5, so we're getting 2 yards compared to what I thought the line would be. I'll tell you who that is a little bit later on in the program. In the meantime, I want to remind you that you can head into the new year with a smarter betting strategy powered by VSiN Pro. Join VSiN and get instant access to everything you need to make informed bets every day. Sign up now, get daily best bets from VSiN hosts and guests, real-time DraftKings and Circa betting splits, AI-powered prop tools and matchup analysis, 24/7 video, and full show replays on the VSiN Watch app, plus expert picks and prop data throughout the NFL and college football playoffs. Get started today for just $9.99 or save 50% with an annual plan. Start betting smarter today at VSiN.com/subscribe. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. And you can check out the Opta AI player prop projections when you become a VSiN Pro, and that's over at VSiN.com/NFL props. All right, what are we going to do with the college football playoff? Is it Miami or Ole Miss? Indiana or Oregon? Plus, Eagles, can they cover against San Francisco this weekend? And who wins between the Texans and Steelers? Don't worry, Tanner Kern from DraftKings answers all of those questions when we return on Cashing Out.
Cashing Out here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Back on Cashing Out, I'm Dustin Sweetelson, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. An update in Boise, Idaho. Grand Canyon continues to put it on Boise. They're up 42-27. They were 8.5-point dogs at close. They're now laying 8.5 early in the second half. 137.5 the total. We're on the under 137.5, so hopefully it still has a prayer. If that thing dips really low, I may take an over and just maybe get off this bet and just walk away. No harm, no foul, as we'll keep you updated on the Mountain West action throughout the night. And then the last NBA game, Portland up 103-99 on Houston. That game only has 32 seconds left, but how about Portland if they pull this off, holding off the Rockets in that matchup, a young pesky Trailblazers team looking to finish the job in the next 32 seconds. I'll let you know how it finishes when it goes final. But right now, we got to look at a jam-packed, jelly-tight weekend of football. It begins Thursday, then Friday, full of Saturday and Sunday action as well. To help us break it all down, we're going to the Progressive Guest Line. Welcome in Tanner Kern, DraftKings Sportsbook, also Forbes contributor, at Tanner Kern underscore on X. And he joins us now in Cashing Out. So, Tanner, let's begin with the college football, man. I was telling you in the break, I'm a Miami fan. I have Miami futures, 16-1, a very small 71, 70-1 bet, just to add to it. And I'm terrified. Everyone believes in Miami. And I've yet to believe, maybe that's my problem, not everyone else's problem, but I have yet to believe in Mario Cristobal because he terrifies me as an in-game coach, but they're laying 3.5. The total's 52.5, and you like the Canes to go to the national title and cover this number. Tell me why. Give me hope. Tell me to stop being so worried.
I wouldn't be worried at all. Now, this is a hard one to quantify because you look at Ole Miss and their way to win this game is Trinidad Chambliss taking over, and you can't necessarily quantify that with stat. But for the most part, I think Miami's just the more deeper team, and when you look at how these teams match up, it really swings in favor of Miami. Offensive line and defensive line, that's what Mario Cristobal's built at Miami, and it's starting to really come to fruition here. I think they're going to be able to dominate in the trenches on both sides of the ball. And last week, Trinidad Chambliss took over a game against Georgia. Don't get me wrong. But the one thing the Bulldogs haven't had all season is a consistent pass rush. So I think Miami's going to be able to get pressure on Trinidad. And if they do that, you're not going to let him be otherworldly like he was last week. And on the flip side, for Miami, they've been really good on offense, just steady and consistent. Carson Beck has taken care of the football and done everything, pretty much everything right. And run game wise, they've been able to run it when they have to. So no reason to not believe in Miami in this spot. You could be on the wrong side of history and get beat by Trinidad once again here. But as long as Miami just plays their game and gets a pass rush, I don't necessarily see a route to victory for Ole Miss, especially if they struggle running the ball with Kawan Lacy. And I fully expect that with just how good Miami is up front.
Hey, I hope you're right. I hope you're right. So that makes me feel a little bit better. You said it to me. Patrick Maher said it to me earlier. I'm hearing everyone on the network likes Miami. So it does calm me down a bit that everyone just kind of like, yeah, Miami's the better team. Just accept it and move on. Let's move on to Oregon and Indiana, where full disclosure, man, I've been on the wrong side of Indiana for a while. I bet their season win total 8.5. I didn't touch him in the future market when it came to anything to win the Big Ten, to win the national title, make the playoff. But here we are, and they are rightfully the favorite team. They're laying 3.5. I know it's a revenge angle for Oregon, and I love Oregon and Dan Lanning, but I'm with you. If I'm betting a side here, I think you have to lay the points with the Hoosiers in the Peach Bowl.
Yeah, they've earned that right. I mean, Indiana is really two wins away from being the greatest college football team of all time. Maybe not the most talented like 2019 LSU, but the fact that they could go 16-0, beat Oregon twice potentially, make Alabama tap out, beat Ohio State, and then win the national title, that's pretty impressive stuff. So I think Indiana's earned the right for us pretty much to have to lay the number here. When you look at Oregon, the last time out, they could not protect when they had to. And Dante Moore had one of his worst games of the season against Indiana. He was sacked 6 times. He threw 2 interceptions. When Oregon ran the ball, if you take away the sack adjusted yardage, it was actually pretty good, over 4 yards a carry there. But when Indiana got Oregon in third and long, which was the majority of the game, they couldn't capitalize. 3 of 14 on third down, that's not going to cut it for Oregon. So I fully expect them to come out and run the ball here. I think they're going to establish the run. I do think they're going to have success in this game a lot more than they had last time. You know, Oregon fans kind of claim to fame. They want to hang a banner for this, that it was 2020 in the fourth quarter last time, which it was, credit to them. But, you know, I think Indiana has gotten better from the last time out. Indiana was a 7.5-point dog the last time these two teams played. They still found a way to win. And I think with Dan Lanning's aggressive play calling style, or just aggressive decision making, I should say, they were 4 of 8 on fourth down last week. The offense didn't look great. If they, you know, take that strategy this week, Indiana's just not going to mess up. Like, they don't make many errors. It's really hard to beat them. So Oregon pretty much has to play a flawless game. Dante Moore has to be pretty much perfect, and they have to protect him. I just don't see that happening over the course of 60 minutes against a good Indiana team. There's going to be too many third and longs. Indiana's going to capitalize. They're going to find a way to win.
Yeah, look, that's it. Indiana's not going to shoot themselves in the foot. Kurt Cignetti's so good, he may be coaching in the NFL after this game. Like, realistically, it's wild. Tanner Kern is our guest, DraftKings Sportsbook, Forbes contributor, at Tanner Kern _ on X, joining us on the Progressive Guest Line. Let's go to the NFL. Things get started on Saturday, but we'll begin by looking at Sunday's games with you and the Eagles, laying 4.5, hosting the Niners. 44.5 is the total. Tanner, when this line came out, I said, oh, no. They're trying to bait us into taking the points with San Francisco. People have not taken the bait. It's been bet up to 4.5. You're going to lay it with the Eagles. Tell me why.
I mean, I'd consider an alternate spread here with the Philadelphia Eagles. I know they don't score a lot of points, so that's my biggest concern, but I would be laying this number in a heartbeat. There was a lot of praise for the 49ers this season. You know, I tip my cap to Kyle Shanahan. He's done a great job, especially with all the injuries. You lose talent on defense, offense. You know, the one thing that they haven't really lost, their playmakers like Christian McCaffrey, even though he runs the ball a million times a game. But, you know, for the 49ers, there's been a lot of praise. I don't understand why, because when they hit a good defense, and you know, we saw that against Seattle Seahawks, they struggled. You know, one seed on the line, you're going up against Seattle, and you barely score in that game. Seattle doesn't look good on offense, but the 49ers' kryptonite is any team with a good defense, because they need to play in shootouts. If they're not playing in shootouts, they're not going to win. So Philadelphia is a really bad matchup for San Francisco. I think, you know, Brock Purdy and Christian McCaffrey can have some success, obviously, but the Philadelphia Eagles defense is that good. We know it. You know, poised for another championship run, I think, for Philadelphia. They haven't even found their stride yet. And when you look at the Eagles on offense, while they haven't been great this season, if you're looking at one defense that they should be able to get here, it is the San Francisco 49ers. So I think this one's really going to play out a lot like week 18 against the Seattle Seahawks. It's just a really bad matchup for San Francisco. So consider an alternate spread here. I see Philadelphia winning by a touchdown.
Monday Night Football, Houston's a 3-point favorite on the road in Pittsburgh. The total is 39.5. Mike Tomlin, 10 wins. I'm done doubting him. I'm done not believing. I mean, you can't even question the guy anymore. Houston comes in as hot as anybody in football. The defense is dialed all the way up, and you want to lay the 3 with D'Amico Ryans on the road?
Yeah, this is a tough one to go against Mike Tomlin at home. I don't know if you've seen this trend, Dustin, but the Pittsburgh Steelers have won 23 home Monday Night Football games in a row. The Houston Texans are 0-6 on the road in their playoff history. It's a really, you know, bad trend game, I would say, to take the Houston Texans. But when I look at just the overall spot here, I have my concerns that Aaron Rodgers is not going to be able to hold up in the pocket against the Houston Texans. You look at how last week went for the Pittsburgh Steelers against the Baltimore Ravens. Credit to the Steelers for finding a way to win that game, but they needed a man to slip a corner to have a touchdown pass to take the lead, and then they needed the Ravens to miss a 44-yard field goal. So a lot had to go in their favor, and maybe that's going to happen here. But when I look at the matchup-wise, you know, it's just it screams Houston here. Their defense is that good. They have the best defense in football. You know, very impressive stuff what they've been able to do on that side of the ball. They have electric pass rush. And I go back to the game, you know, the most recent Houston game in my memory is just going up against the LA Chargers, and they were able to torment Justin Herbert. He had no chance. And if they sack Aaron Rodgers like Justin Herbert, there's a good chance Rodgers doesn't even make it through the game here. I'm not a big fan of CJ Stroud. I think if the Steelers play man coverage, they're going to have a lot of success against him. But I think Stroud's going to be good enough to score to cover this number. And I just don't really see the Pittsburgh Steelers moving the ball that much on Houston because they are that good.
Now, in about a minute here, you are a Patriots fan. I don't see them as an official play. They're laying 3.5, taking on the Chargers. 46.5 is the total. What's your level of concern with LA coming to town?
I think it's pretty high. You know, you can find a trend for everything, obviously, in the NFL. If you look at the New England Patriots and just their schedule this season, it doesn't favor well for teams with that schedule in the playoffs in the past, that, you know, the type of easy schedule. But you also can look at the Chargers and say they play in a dome and they're going to a temperature under 40 degrees. I don't have the exact trend in front of me, but that doesn't favor well for the Chargers. So I think it's a tough matchup. You know, the New England Patriots are 1-2 against teams above 500. Justin Herbert's good enough to take over a game. Obviously, Drake May can outplay Justin Herbert. We know that. But the Chargers have a quality defense. Offensive line wise, obviously really banged up. I think the Patriots can take advantage of them there. But this is by no means a slam dunk play. And if you're New England, you got a lot of tough challenges to go through just to get through the AFC. And I don't even think Buffalo is the biggest challenge in the AFC right now. You know, besides having Josh Allen, their defense isn't very good. So it's a tough matchup for New England for sure. I think they win it, but if I'm looking at a spread pick, I probably lean towards the Chargers there getting the field goal and the hook.
He's Tanner Kern. Check him out over at the DraftKings Sportsbook Forbes as well, at @TannerKern_on X. Appreciate you doing this as always, my friend. We will chat again next week.
Thanks for having me.
All right, when we return, Wes Reynolds, the traveling man of Easton. Can the miracle ride continue for his Indiana Hoosiers? He'll tell you who he's picking in the Peach Bowl. That's coming up next on Cashing Out.
Welcome back to Cashing Out here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Back at it on Cashing Out from the Circa Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas. I'm Dustin Sweetelson. Thanks for hanging out with us all night long. SiriusXM Channel 158, YouTube TV, the VSiN Watch app, and radio affiliates across the United States of God Bless America. One college basketball game still going on, and we are just being teased here. Grand Canyon's up 49-38 on Boise State. They're laying 6.5. They close as 8.5-point dogs. Total's 137.5. Why does that matter? I bet under 137.5. As soon as I bet it, it went over. It went up to like 142.5. So I was on the wrong side. Yet here we are, early in the second half. I can get off the bet, but I'm going to be stubborn. We're going to ride and hope that the under gets home. Right now, I think Boise plus 6.5 makes a little bit of sense at home. We'll put the college hoops to the side. We're going to go to college football and the NFL because the most traveled man in the history of VSiN is Wes Reynolds. He is our own VSiN betting analyst at Wes Reynolds 1 on X. And he joins us now on the Progressive Guest Line because he has been on this ride with Indiana and Kurt Cignetti, his alma mater. We'll get to them in a moment. But first, we got to talk about my team, Wes, because I'm terrified. Everyone I hear is telling me that Miami's the better team between them and Ole Miss. They're 3.5-point favorites, and they are the total's 52.5. But all I keep envisioning is Trinidad Chambliss doing stuff off script, making crazy plays, and I just don't trust Mario Cristobal in a big spot. Which way do you want to go? You want to lay the 3 with Miami? You want to take the 3.5 with Ole Miss?
Yeah, I took the 3.5 with Ole Miss here. And I think, you know, Miami, I actually think that they are the deserved favorite in this spot because Ole Miss, you know, it seems like everything's kind of going against him. It's like it's this group of musical chairs that Pete Golding has in terms of his coaching staff right now. Okay, who's going to be coaching? Who's not going to be coaching? Who's going with Lane to LSU? Who's coming back and then going back? So it has been, I think, trying times for Ole Miss, but they persevered. And I got to give them credit. That was the one quarter I got wrong because I thought Georgia was going to pull away in the second half, and they did not. And Trinidad Chambliss was every bit the star in that game. He got pressured 12 times, by the way. Never got sacked once. And we know that's been Miami's bread and butter through these first two games in terms of getting pressure. I think I want to say they have like 21 sacks in their last four games combined. So Miami can get pressure on the passer, but if they can keep Trinidad Chambliss a little bit clean, I think he's going to have opportunities for explosives down the field. And that's going to force Miami's hand a little bit offensively. I don't think Carson Beck has really been forced to make these pressure throws because the defense has been so good and they've run the ball at least effectively enough to keep the other opponents, A&M and Ohio State, at bay. But this time it looks like it's going to be more of a shootout. If it's a shootout, like it usually is in the Fiesta Bowl pretty much every year, I think that favors Ole Miss.
Wes Reynolds is our guest, VSiN betting analyst at Wes Reynolds 1 on X. Now let's get to the game that you're going to be at. Before we get to your prediction and your bet, let's talk about perspective in Indiana, because this is kind of crazy to say. They're undefeated. They're definitely the best team in football. They don't make mistakes. You're in a situation now where you're going to all these games because you never believed you'd ever see Indiana football reach these levels, reach these heights. Yet at the same point in time, if they don't win a national championship, would you be like, would you consider the season a failure with them being the best team all season long? Where you say, no, it's Indiana. We've never done this before. I'm happy just to be in the Final Four.
Yeah, Dustin, I would say it's a ladder, but I actually think that that's a very good question because we were having that discussion as we were leaving Rose Bowl Stadium after that 38-3 shellacking of Alabama. Just wanted to say that again. That feels so good to say that. But yeah, we were talking about this. It's like, okay, we won the Big Ten. You won the Rose Bowl. This is like gravy, right? And it's like, yes, but then you get to that old Queen song, I want it all and I want it now. And, you know, it's like now that we're here, it's like finish the job. We got to finish this year because we're the favorite to do so. We're the best team, have passed every single test. Every single time something's thrown at this team, they've passed it with flying colors. So it's like, we got to do it. But no, I don't think this is a failure. I think Indiana football, and I think it's here to stay, by the way. There may be a chance that we're making these trips again, next year and the years to come with how Kurt Cignetti is bringing in talent.
I mean, Josh Hoover's coming in from TCU. I think I love Fernando Mendoza. Josh Hoover's better than Fernando Mendoza. And we've seen what he's done. Cignetti getting the most out of Mendoza, getting the most out of Curtis Rourke. I can't imagine what Josh Hoover looks like. All right, let's go to the NFL. Wes Reynolds is with us. VSiN betting analyst at Wes Reynolds 1 on X. Green Bay and Chicago. Packers 1.5 point road favorite, totals 45.5. You want to go money line on Green Bay. Tell me why.
Yeah, I went money line when it was 115. It's a little bit higher now, but look, full fair play to the Bears. Ben Johnson's done a terrific job with these guys. I think Caleb Williams is developing. He's turning the ball over less. Like, he's playing like, okay, that's what we saw out of USC. That's the guy that we saw as the number one pick. But I think they're being very, very fortunate in terms of turnover margin. Plus 22, by the way, it still leads the league. I think they're 5 ahead of Houston, who's in the number two spot. And you look at some of their defensive metrics. They are down in the high 20s in terms of rush defense, in terms of yards per play, whatever metric you want to look at, they are down there. And I think Green.
Oh, I think we lost Wes there. We'll see if we can reconnect with Wes. I don't have a good feel for that side, Green Bay and Chicago. I'd love to tell you that I have a good feel for either one. I want Chicago to win, but I don't know if they're ready for it. Instead, I just think there's going to be a lot of points. I don't really trust either defense there, but we'll see if we can get Wes back on the line. If not, we got plenty to get to throughout the next hour and 10 minutes here, including some player props I want to bring up in our next segment for Wildcard Weekend. It appears we have Wes back. We'll have him in a second. Picture looks good. Let's bring Wes back on. So you like Green Bay. Let's go to San Francisco and Philly, staying in the NFC. I saw that line when it dropped, Wes. It was 3.5, Philly laying it. And I was like, you know what? They want us to take San Francisco. They're baiting us to take the points in San Francisco. That's why I can't do anything with that game. Instead, I agree with you. I think under is the only direction I'd look. 45 is the total. You're on the under in the Niners and Eagles. Talk to me about it.
Yeah, and Philadelphia, Dustin, they're getting Lane Johnson back, so that's certainly going to help the running game. And that's what I think that they're going to lean on here. They're going to lean on Saquon, maybe some design runs for Jalen Hurts. I know the 49ers are not like an elite stop unit because of the injuries they've had, because Warner's been out and Bosa's been out. And they fought through these injuries all years. Credit to Kyle Shanahan. That's why I would lean his way a little bit for coach of the year, because of what they've had to do with the injuries, because we've seen injuries derail San Francisco seasons in years gone by, but it didn't this year necessarily. But one thing I think the Niners have is they have Robert Saleh, and I trust him to come up with a good game plan here to kind of keep this game a little bit close. We did see a low scoring game on that Saturday night game that was for the NFC West title. I don't know if it's going to be quite that low scoring, because that total was just way too high. And that's why I think you're seeing the action here on the under, because the 49ers, I just think that, you know, a really good defense can solve them. And we saw Seattle do it last week. And I think Philadelphia, very talented and very good on defense. So this strikes me like a 20-17 type of game either way. So I'm on the under.
And then Wes, I'm with you on this one. Sunday night, Patriots are laying 3.5, hosting the Chargers. The total's 46.5. The second you go against New England, people start to call you a Patriot hater. It's not that. It's more just, I think Jim Harbaugh's built for the playoffs, so I took the points as well. Talk to me about your play on the Chargers catching a little bit more than a field goal on the road.
Yeah, Chris Massaro. We're not Patriots haters here at the Vegas Sports Stats and Information Network. Just giving a shout-out. I know he's listening out there, but I am on the Chargers here at 3.5. I just look at the Patriots, and fair play to Drake May. If he wins the MVP, good for him. I think Matthew Stafford also very deserving. I know you've had some back and forth with some people on that particular topic, and we'll continue that discussion. But I look at this. What is, I think Justin Herbert, like 12-2, and he's an underdog of more than a field goal. And I just trust the guy with playoff experience. And I think that you're seeing it with, you know, Williams, May, Bryce Young in the first game against the Rams. I think those guys are going to struggle their first time in playoff action. And I just look at the Patriots, and they've been very good, but they've had an easy schedule. They beat one team with the winning record this year, and that was the Buffalo Bills. And then the dreg teams that they played, they didn't even have to really play starting quarterbacks. So you had a lot of like the Brady Cooks of the world that they got to play, and some of these backups, and Joe Flacco, et cetera, et cetera. Well, now you're getting one of the better ones in the league in Justin Herbert, and I'm going with Harbaugh here. I think the playoff experience, this is a veteran group, and that line is only 3.5. Boy, I think that might get bet by the general public. So don't rush necessarily to bet the Bolts here, but I think that they are the right side.
He is Wes Reynolds. He will be traveling to Atlanta. Safe travels, my friend. I hope the Hoosiers pull it off. I hope they win the title. I hope you go on this magical ride. I just think it'd be the best story ever if Cignetti pulls this off. And I think, I don't know if you'd know what to do with yourself. I really don't. So check out Wes on X at Wes Reynolds 1. Continue to document too the trip out to Atlanta for the Peach Bowl. When we return here on VSiN, we got to look more at the player props for the wild card round. We hit the rushing and the passing. Now the receiving options, running backs, tight ends, and receivers next on Cashing Out.
Checked Allstate first and saved hundreds on my car insurance. Really smart. Unfortunately, I didn't check if I took the gas hose out of my car's tank. Ooh, not smart. And I drove off while still attached to pump number 3.
Yeah, checking first is smart. So check Allstate first for a quote that could save you hundreds.
Potential savings vary, subject to terms, conditions, and availability. Allstate North American Insurance Company and affiliates, Northbrook, Illinois.
Want to make 2026 your year of adventure? Book that trip and learn a new language with Babbel. Go ahead, make a resolution you can stick to. Now is the time. Babbel's New Year sale is here. Unlock all of the languages on Babbel with a lifetime subscription for 65% off. Turn your daydream into a destination this year with Babbel. Get Babbel's lifetime access for less at Babbel.com. That's Babbel.com. Babbel.com.
Football meets flavor with VSiN and Omaha Steaks, the official sponsor of tailgating. And right now, you can score 2 pounds of fully cooked chicken wings, plus 50% off site-wide when you shop omahasteaks.com/VSIN today. Enjoy legendary steaks, juicy air-chilled chicken, beefy burgers, deli-style franks, and so much more. From preseason to postseason and every game in between, you're sure to achieve gridiron greatness because Omaha Steaks delivers the kind of exceptional flavor that brings people together. USDA certified tender steaks, legendary burgers, amazing appetizers, and everything else you need to fuel your fandom from the first kickoff to the last down. And every bite is backed by their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Don't wait. Shop now to get 2 pounds of fully cooked chicken wings. Plus, save 50% site-wide on steaks and more at omahasteaks.com/BSIN. That's omahasteaks.com/BSIN. Minimum purchase may apply. See site for details.
Your favorite VSiN shows and personalities are now available to download as podcasts. Catch every hour of our live broadcast with VSiN Best Bets. Or find your go-to show and download it directly. Get instant reactions to last night's games, sharp analysis on today's biggest matchups, and everything in between. Whether you're commuting, working out, or just catching up, VSiN lets you take the action with you wherever and whenever you want. Search VSiN on your favorite podcast platform and get in on the action with VSiN, the sports betting network.
Experience the ultimate pool and watch party at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Hi, I'm Derek Stevens, owner and chief executive officer of Circa Las Vegas, and I want to welcome you to Stadium Swim, your year-round destination for nonstop fun. With 3 levels, 6 pools, and a massive 143-foot screen, catch every game, every season. It's the place to be in Las Vegas. Soak up the sun and party all night 365 days a year at Stadium Swim. Secure your spot now at CircaLasVegas.com.
Hey, it's Grace Remington for VSiN, the sports betting network. Houston rebounded from an 0-3 start to close the season on a 9-game win streak behind one of the league's nastiest defenses. They opened wildcard weekend as a 2.5-point road favorite against Pitt and were quickly bet up to 3.5. The total of 39.5 is the lowest of the weekend, and weather could have an impact. Sign up for VSiN Pro to get daily best bets, real-time betting splits, AI-powered prop tools, 24/7 live video, and more for only $9.99. Or save 50% with an annual plan. Go to VSiN.com/subscribe.
When the games are on, so is VSiN, with in-game betting insights you can actually use. We're live during the action for real-time breakdowns and the best opportunities to hit live bets on all major sports. Our exclusive betting splits update every 5 minutes, so you'll always know where the sharp money's going. And with the VSiN Watch app, you're never out of range with live analysis following you wherever you go. Ride the action in real time by making VSiN your second screen and join us on the Sports Betting Network.